You are listening to the Pencil and Paper Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back to Super Mega Crash Beyond. I am your host, Stephen White. With me, as always, is my co-host, Lacia Findlay.
A happy Monday.
How's everyone doing today?
Feeling all right. We're getting through the coldness, right? We're starting to
warm up a little bit.
Get through it all. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think I heard that like Groundhog never saw the shadow, right? Like back when it happened. So Supposedly we should be like heading into good times here very soon.
Sure. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Believe in all that.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like all the seasons have shifted that now I'm expecting winter to hit in like January and then drag on till May. If we got the equal amount of warmth, I'm like, fine. I don't care that they've shifted, but it just kind of depends on the year.
That's true.
You know, We might have a good summer or we might have like 2 weeks of it and then it's back to fall weather, I guess, which isn't bad. But Lace likes the heat once in a while, man. She wants to not need a sweatshirt or anything. That's what I hate about the cold. I hate all the shit you got to bring with you, man. I got to bring my hat and my gloves and my scarf and my coat. And then when I get to the place, I've got to find a place for all that stuff or you're stuck carrying it. And I'm like, this sucks. This is what I hate about winter. And then inside anywhere you go is blasting the heat. So you're probably meat falling off the bone because you wore a sweater because it was cold outside. But now inside's 90 degrees, you know, like it's just, we can't figure it out, man.
I personally have a love-hate with that hot and cold because I 100% agree with what you say. However, there's nothing more comforting than just being curled up under a nice warm blanket when it's chilly outside and you just want to stay in bed and just stay in your little cocoon.
Sure. You know. Well, I get chilly a lot, so maybe that's why I'm like, well, I'm ready to move on to the heat because I'm always in a blanket curled up ready. I feel like we're cold here more than we're hot.
Yeah.
But when it does get hot, it means it. It'll still get to like triple digits and humidity of like 90% or something where you're like moving through outside. Like you just feel like you've gained 50 pounds by just trying to get to your car. And that'll last like a week and then we'll be back to like cold or something. It's no wonder we're all sick all the time. It's like, make up your mind, man.
Yeah.
Mother Nature, I know we've been bad to you, but like, are you okay?
No. She doesn't seem like it.
No. And I mean, we've not been treating her well, I guess is what like Buffy the Vampire. We've been treading on them this whole time.
Yeah.
Don't tread on me. I think you kind of like have to tread on the earth.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you don't. I guess it lets you roll everywhere.
Sure.
Oh, God. Could you imagine a world of people rolling everywhere?
There's a multiverse out there.
Probably. There might be. Yeah. Roly-poly people.
That would be interesting. So, what did you bring for us today? Because we got an interesting little topic you wanted to talk about.
I think so. Well, most people, maybe you've seen it or not, because I guess it did come out last year, May-ish or something like that. 2023 was last year. But Michael J. Fox had a documentary made called Still on Apple TV that Davis Guggenheim directed, known for doing documentaries. But this one, he had kind of mentioned he wanted to kind of stretch his legs a little bit more on. And you can tell that, I think, in the quality of the documentary, that it isn't just like slides of his life and talking about it and moving on. He filmed some things with Michael's blessing, according to the stuff I was reading, where when they're imitating what they think is going on. So like he hired a younger actor, but you only saw it from his back. So like if Michael was walking down a hall or something like that, that they would reenact, you know, with this other actor. So I thought it would be interesting to just kind of have a chat about Michael J. Fox, because he's kind of a cult actor at this point. Like, he's in our zeitgeist. He's made these movies that are just cult classics, and kind of just an interesting, well, interesting or just a bizarre thing happening to someone at such a young age, yeah. which you never hear about, you know, with someone that young. And I thought the documentary showed me things that you might have heard about, but to get to see the behind the scenes of like being filmed at Family Ties or back scenes from Back to the Future, I had never seen that before.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had. So I thought it would be interesting to kind of chat about his life, because holy crap, what a life he's led, mm-hmm. you know, and much more interesting and than I would have even thought. Hmm. When a lot of this stuff was going on, I was young. Like, we were both very young, sure. you know. Shoot, when did Family Ties even start? Like, might have been before 80s. I was born.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, or right about the same time, right? So, and then even Back to the Future, I mean, I had, you know, I understood it probably later in the 90s, you know, when I was like old enough to take it in, because that was like 85. So mm-hmm. I was stupid young at that point, you know. So, but yeah, firstly, what did you think? Because I had asked you to watch the documentary for this. I enjoyed it. It took me through emotions, you know. So I'm curious what you thought about it.
I was really impressed with the approach, because as you said, it was not a typical documentary like you see. I mean, and I'm a big documentary guy. Like, I love a good documentary, especially if it's about a topic that I am really interested in or fascinated sure. by, whether it be about a movie or people. And I mean, I've even been doing some documentary watches. I think back, I want to say probably back at the end of last year, there was just a stretch of time. I had free time, and I'd been working on this big 1,000-piece puzzle. And
nice.
Boy, oh boy, does that take a while. Like,
I bet, yeah.
You get through a 500-piece puzzle in a day, and it feels like weeks just to get through one that's double the size. And be like, why is this the way it is? And it's you're just struggling.
Yeah. I mean, after 1,000 pieces, I guess a lot of them, they just have to be the same shape at some point, right?
Like, yeah. And you're just looking, you know? Saying, they all look the same to me.
Yep.
But during that time, I found some documentaries on Max that were just these long stretch documentaries, probably like 8 episodes or sure. something, about like the history of TV sitcoms or the history of late night television and things.
Fun. And, yeah,
just fascinating stuff. There was even like a long form documentary about The Simpsons that went from its earliest conception to where it is now, and so much stuff that I didn't even know.
Oh, my God. So, 40 years of a show almost, like, that's got to be an interesting watch.
Oh, yeah.
Look into that. I never really watched The Simpsons, but I can appreciate what it's done. Like, you know what I mean?
One of the most fascinating details I think I found out of that was why they are yellow. Because when these, I guess the show was conceived, or the concept of the characters were conceived, is Matt Groening just sketched out the family based on his own family. And he was like, here are your characters, a little black and white sketch, go do, you know, whatever you want with it, and we'll work from that. And when it came time to give them color, they were trying to figure out, okay, well, what would work here? And there was I think she's a French artist who was the one who came up with the entire color scheme, from the pink house to the yellow blue skin, hair. The blue hair, all that. She was the one, and there were stories. You know, throughout, it's like, no, Matt had this plan from the start. And she even pulled out like an issue of Playboy with an interview with Matt Groening where he quotes, she is the one responsible for the yellow.
Good for him.
And I was like, good, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was fascinating. I did not know that.
I wouldn't have had a clue either. So, yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
It's details like that I'm always fascinated by with these stories, because obviously you hear things, but then... Even if it's a rumor and then they finally address it, there's something about it. And then you get to a truth of sorts. Even if there's conflict on both sides to what this rumor is, there's a truth there that you can kind of come to.
Pull from the middle from maybe a little. Yeah.
So with this, I was very curious. Like, what am I going to learn about Michael J. Fox in this? But again, how they did it. It wasn't just sit down with people and chit chat. Because, I mean, they could have easily done that. They could have talked to so many co-stars of his throughout the
years. Oh, God, right?
And just, what do you think about Michael? What do you think about Michael? They didn't. Mm-hmm. Here, like you said, they practically set it up like a film, following him narrating his life.
Yep.
And the interstitials. I loved so much how they found a way to weave in not just the new footage that they filmed, but film clips from all of his movies that worked with whatever he was saying in that moment.
Isn't it interesting how they did that? Yes, where it was almost like this is what was supposed to be happening when that clip came up. Yeah, I think he did an excellent job with that and the editing and everything that... And it's a little longer than you would expect, I guess, out of just like a single documentary. Hour and a half, though. I'm not saying it's ridiculous, but usually you're thinking like an hour or whatever. But yeah, well, I guess I could just start from the beginning here because just listening to how he got into show business almost makes me want to punch him. Like, was it really that easy for you? You know what I mean? Like, it always makes you wonder if I was just born 20 years earlier, if I could have made it, you know, because it's like you always hear, it seems like, well, I just... Harrison Ford, I just happened to walk by someone one day, you know, and you're just like, what the, you know, like I tried for 20 years, spent all this money, you know, but just talking about very small dude, you know, always, he's like, I was just always a small guy, still a small guy, never going to be a big guy. So bullied and stuffed in lockers and all that stuff you would expect in Canada, you know, and he decided he wanted to be an actor and dad's like, all right. And they took him out. And he goes on an audition and gets it. And I'm like, I hate you. Really? Like the first couple of auditions you go on, you just book, you know? I mean, I hadn't heard of those other shows, to be fair. I had to go back and look, I mean, before I was born. So I don't know, you know, I forget how old Michael is. He still burned as that 17-year-old kid in my head. I know he wasn't 17 in Back to the Future, but like, you know.
No, but that was actually one of the things that probably fascinated me early on in the documentary was I know he had probably been acting prior to Family Ties because literally Family Ties is almost like the crux of when I know his career because it was in that moment, Teen Wolf, Back to the Future. And then just from there on, I knew him. You know, that was his career because that's when he took off. But yeah, seeing all those older show clips and movies, I'm like, I don't know.
It's
this
serious
stuff
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, like dramas and things like that, which we know him as kind of a comedic actor now. Well, they kind of explained that he kind of found he was funny with Family Ties. Like he had even mentioned, like, I got on all these auditions. He was hitting a slump, you know, like maybe that was it for me. And then got into the audition there, which was interesting to see that they did it in front of like live audiences and stuff with that, because they were showing that the filming and stuff of him doing those reads. And I'm like, and then to just hear the crew like gut laughing, you know, at the stuff he was saying, which could definitely tell you like how humor has changed over the years, you know, because like it was cute, but I don't know if I would have been like, you know, Michael P. Keaton or Alex P. Keaton, you know. Get such a huge laugh, but yeah, he like nailed it. And interesting, because I don't know that I knew this, that the Family Ties was supposed to just be about like the mom and dad and then the kids, of course, there. But since Michael just kind of did so well, the show kind of became about him and revolved around him to the point he kind of started to become a dick about things. And he kind of admitted that. And I'm like, you hate to hear it. But it seems like fame always just seems to do that to people at a certain point where you just get so used to yes men and getting your way all the time that like I think it just kind of turns people into assholes. I don't know. I might be the same way if I'm just so used to people waiting on me hand and foot.
Sure.
That like if I get any kind of pushback, I'd be like, who the frick do you think you are? Pushback? What?
Yeah.
Do you know who I am? Like people give me stuff. But
I'll give him credit for owning it, though.
Yep.
Because how many times you hear those stories where someone's just like, well, this guy was kind of a dick and was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what they're talking. And then they'll have two separate interviews.
Right.
But this person's like, well, that's not right. And the other person's like, no, this is actually what happened. No.
That's what you did. Yeah. And apparently Michael said, don't take it out. Like even Guggenheim's like, you know, I was waiting for him to be like, take these things out that makes me look maybe not as savory, you know, and he's like, no, leave it in. It's what happened, you know, and that, I respect that.
Yeah, I absolutely respect that, too, because there was another thing that I noticed they could have easily done to make this. And I don't want to make it sound bad, but I know human beings are horrible because I want to talk about this, too, is they don't try to make it more digestible in the sense that anytime he was having a flare up or having a moment, they would let you sit with it as he's sitting there shaking or having a moment like he's trying to push through and it's uncomfortable. But at the same time, I appreciate it because I don't want to be spoon fed. Ah, he's fine. Ah, he just has little moments here and there. No, let's see it. You know,
and he's going through it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's why I held off. And I think you and I were kind of talking about that a little bit, like, because I had flirted with playing that documentary for a while. But a piece of me was like, is it just going to make me sad? You know, like, am I going to be so sad because, you know, this is just how you remember him? And do you want to leave it like that as your memory? But I don't know. One day I finally was just like, you know what? I want to dive into it. And you're right. It wasn't easy to watch a lot of it. And he does let you see behind the curtain quite a bit of his day to day and what he has to go through now with having Parkinson's. And this is considered mild or something like that. So it hasn't even, I guess, the whatever the degrees are, the furthest that it's been. Because I wanted to look that up to see like what level that was, where he was at. So it was interesting. And I hope you guys don't think along what I'm saying interesting in that way. But like, to find out that it could be that bad in a middle zone. Like, wow, I can't imagine what one would have to go through then if it's progressed even further. I think him keeping himself in shape like that's probably been helping a lot.
Sure.
But yeah, it's, you know, but you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and so like to get to see it that way is very eye opening and I do appreciate it. And it does kind of make me feel a little bit better. Just in the sense that he's been trying to keep such high spirits and to see that he's still just fighting. He's like, I'm just going to keep fighting. I'm still exercising. I'm still going out there. Yeah, I'm getting hurt a lot because I'm Michael and I like to go fast and I can't slow my ass down to save my life, even if I wanted to, even though I should be right now.
Yeah.
I think those were the moments that was the hardest to wrap your brain around. Just like how much physical healing you're going to have to do from the falling or running into stuff or things like that, that my God, the amount of surgeries that he's had to go through and everything is just, and to be that still upbeat about it, maybe it's an error for the camera. I don't know. But it seems like when they were talking to some other people, like he's just trying to be himself that happens to also be dealing with this thing. His family's not coddling him or anything like that. Like they're giving it back to him just as good as he could take it, you know, just that's how you should. Just like, don't make them always feel like they're just this person with a disease, like you're just this person who happens to be dealing with this disease. And I liked that. Yeah. I liked hearing that his family was still rallying around, his wife was still there, that, you know, it was nice. I don't know.
No, that, I think there was a very specific scene where they were all, it was like him, two of his kids, and his wife were in the kitchen, and they were joking about the Parkinson's.
Like how bad of a texter he was.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. Like, you never text back or.
And I love that too, because that's him having a sense of humor about it. It's like, yeah, I understand what it is. You know, family's just going to rib me on it and I'm going to rib back. And we make light of it because, I mean, what are you supposed to do? Like you said, don't live in misery the rest of your life. Just find a way to make it a positive in some light. And I know some people don't have that mindset in them, but I appreciate, like, I feel like I would do the same thing.
I don't know if I'm honest. I feel like I would probably have a very low, well, I mean, so did he though. I guess that's just the human nature. Like you'd have this really low point. Oh, woe is me. Why is this me? Probably coming from him, like, disease, do you know who I am? You know, like, and to be 29 to hear that has to be like just devastating.
Sure.
Like I could imagine, because you're like, wait, no, you got the results wrong. I'm 29. What did you find? You know, because it's usually like much older people that it starts in. So I wonder, like, how, if like ran in his family or something, because it just, Maybe I should look that up, how common that actually is to be not even 30.
I did start questioning that too, because that was my biggest question. There was a moment where it's like my brain was trying to take in some information that I heard, and then I was trying to process. So I had to pause it and kind of talk myself through it, because I'm like you. I don't really know that much about Parkinson's. I know the base idea of what it does to you, but the deeper things that it does, the causes, the reasons, I don't know. So I did start to wonder. It's like, was there somebody else in his family? Does it run in the family? Is it genetic? And if it's not, then what could he have done in his life that may have exacerbated the symptoms to make it happen at a younger age? And I think there was even a point where he was walking with one of the therapists and it was down a hallway, and she's like, slow down, make sure to slow down. And that was another thing I was trying to process, was like, does his body not realize how fast it's going? Like, does he not process how that's working? And because I know it's kind of nerves and brain and just shit's functioning all on different cylinders. So I started to question that. And they were even talking about how he took dopamine pills to bring it down. And that was fascinating, too.
Well, you know what? I had looked into it after the fact, and a lot of it with Parkinson's is a dopamine deficiency. And come to find out, dopamine is a lot of what helps you just move and control your body. And so the part of the brain that, you know, produces that stops producing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I was wondering that too. So, you know, it stops producing it, and then you start not being able to control it. And I didn't realize that dopamine was so connected to your function, like how you move and how your the ability for you to control it. So then when I found that out and him taking those pills, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So it's given that little, because in my head, I'm going, just a hit of dopamine. You think happiness.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like you just got that hit. And I was just like, so are you just like drugging yourself out on dopamine, like just to get by? And then when I looked that up, I was like, oh, that's a legit thing that they use to help, I guess, calm everything down. So, yeah, I learned a thing.
Same. I mean, it was just not, like you said, you attribute it to the happiness, you know, factor. Right. Like you get that hit and you're like, ah, all right, I'm good. Mm-hmm, I never, I guess I should have paid better attention in biology.
Or so. Well, I went to a dumb school, so I'm sure I never even was taught it. So
probably not.
We've discussed that at length. You know, if it wasn't through God, I wasn't going to learn it. And then, well, I guess kind of going back to the beginning, too, because like as he was starting to kind of take off there, you know, with family ties and stuff. Now, I feel like I knew this but had forgotten about it, that the way he had gotten the role for Back to the Future. Because I didn't realize, I guess the director and all them actually wanted him at first, but his scheduling with family ties was so much so that it just wasn't going to work. And they had another actor that was already cast, already had filmed some of it. And then I guess that they had made some deal with the people at Family Ties, like, how can we have him too? You know, because Family Ties is like, we're not letting him go. Like, he's our bread and butter right now, you know? So to find out that he did do it, obviously, you know, he made the movie. We've all seen it. I couldn't, like, to be that actor that got recast with Michael. Oh, my God. Like, I hope people have checked on them. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I would be so devastated. Like, was he given notes? Did they try to help him improve it at all? They said he was doing it too serious. I'm like, was it?
Yeah. And I don't know if you recognize the actor or not, or if you even know who it was, but he did, he went out on to do good things. It was Eric Stoltz.
I should have looked him up. Okay.
I guarantee if you see his face, you'd be like, oh yeah, I do know that guy. I mean, he did his most popular, or at least there's another movie we need to talk about on the show, because I'd love to talk about this movie, is Mask. Not the Jim Carrey one, The Mask, but Mask.
Yeah. I know this guy. Well, they showed a little blip in the documentary of the original actor, you know, when they were at the diner and leaned forward, and it didn't click with me. I guess 40 or ago.
I guess
maybe it didn't click with me. Like, people change. Unfortunately, when you get older, you look different. But Mask, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Gosh. Yeah. Wow, that's one I hadn't thought of or seen in forever, too. I wonder if that's a hard one to find.
Yeah, that's a good question. I didn't think about that. So, yeah, that's... Yeah. We'll put a pin in that one because I'd love to talk about that one. But
that would be an interesting one, yeah. But then just that grueling schedule, like, that he was getting picked up at, like, 9 a.m. to be on Family Ties from 9:30 to 6, and then someone would pick him up from there to drive to whatever location they were filming Back to the Future at till sunrise and maybe get home for a couple hours of sleep to do it all over again, to the point that even Michael's like, there's none of this can be any good. Like, I just had no sleep. I've been on autopilot. Like, there's no way Family Ties or this movie is any good. And then what do you know? You're so talented. You basically did this in your sleep.
Now, blech. This is a high, you know, theory on my part, but that is what I was kind of wondering if that might have had something to do with it. Because now, again, I don't know. I'm just I'm hypothesizing it, you know, at best. But he couldn't have been getting more than a few hours of sleep.
No way. Yeah,
for a months. Day. For, yeah, for three, what was it, 3 to 4 months, something like that. The shooting schedule was. So barely getting any sleep for that amount of time, I can imagine would do things to your body.
Sure.
And again, I'm not saying I know, but I was just kind of thinking if there were an incident that could have caused it, I would say it would have been that.
That seems like a good guess. Yes. Like, you basically ran yourself to empty for several months, you know, then to go like into Teen Wolf. Now, I feel like Teen Wolf was filmed before, right? And then released after.
I wanted to clarify that because, he had been filming Teen Wolf, I think, either before or right about the time Family Ties was getting ready to start. His star was starting to rise. Before they had finished production, I guess, on Teen Wolf, like finalized it to get it out, the producers were like, you know, hang on to this movie for a second because this kid, they could see the writing on the wall. Like, he was going to be big. So they were waiting for his star to rise. And of course, Family Ties, Back to the Future, boom, boom, hit. And they're like, now get it out because.
Do it.
Yeah. Now he's big. Everyone knows Michael J. Fox. Get the movie out. Boom. And we got it. So,
and he had the number one movie, number two movie, and number one TV show at the same flipping time, y'all. Like, what?
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
superstar overnight, you know?
Basically, with this. I mean, I guess if we think of, like, there might have been a decade of grinding before that. Like, I don't remember how long in the 70s he was actually at it before, you know, he hit Family Ties. But he still got work. A lot, you know.
There was one thing he said in there, and I honestly just thought about that, like tried to put it into perspective how that felt, because I'm sure he's not the only actor who's been in this moment, but to think about what that moment would be. You have this opportunity to be on this TV show. Mm-hmm. You're going to be making money, good money finally, because he talked about having to sell so much stuff just to kind of get by
as
he
poor.
Was auditioning. Yeah. And then he was just like, I'm getting ready to be on the show. And yet I'm sitting in this diner and I don't even have money for like a basic meal or, you know, anything like that. And it's just like to be in that moment to know, well, next week now I might have, you know, be able
next
to go
week,
eat
I'm
at the finest restaurant in town. But today I'm just, can I just lick a bone, please?
Right. Just get have any marrow left over somewhere? Just Yeah,
that was just like, God damn, you know what? How you would feel in that moment, just like, just a little longer.
It's a whiplash, because it's like in a short period of time, really. Yeah.
And then this blew my mind to find out that who was it, a producer or casting director did not want him for the role of Alex Keaton.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, your show would have been
Could
done.
You imagine?
Yeah.
It makes you wonder who would have gone in there, because I to bring that up, I didn't realize that either, that the director's like, no. But to be fair, then he had only seen him in these dramatic roles.
True.
You know, so, you know, I've always said comedic actors are amazing at drama, right? Like, because comedy is what's literally hard, right? But if he didn't get to spread, you know, stretch those chops beforehand, people, you might get pinholed into you're the dramatic actor, which like blows my mind right now, too, because like Michael J. Fox, a dramatic actor, just doesn't work to me. Even the couple of films he did like later on in the 90s that was supposed to be a little bit more serious, they were still light, I think. And then for him to just go in there and nail that audition and have them all like gut laughing, like that had to be a good feeling.
Oh yeah,
too.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, like I am funny. He probably didn't even realize he had good comedic timing, probably was never really given that opportunity yet, you know, which again, you know, comedy's so different now, you know, but
there was one role that he did that I'm surprised I didn't bring up because I thought it would have been a great way to, granted, they didn't do like a one-to-one comparison of his condition or anything like that, but there was an episode or two. There were a few episodes where he had a guest stint on Scrubs, and I think he was OCD because there was this, like, he, you know, meeting everybody. He was doing the comedy, being good, but then he had an opportunity to do the dramatic parts because he did this amazing scene, and you just had to have been coming from his struggles with Parkinson's because there was that bit where he talked about, you know, on Spin City, he was just punching holes in walls because he was so frustrated. And it was just the guy, like I said, it was OCD, and he's sitting there washing his hands, and he just, he had to keep washing them, and he just was trying to stop. And someone even asked, or someone came up to him to try and talk, and he's like, I can't, this is my life. I cannot stop because this is what I have to do. And you just, there was a moment where he just lost it and just screamed, just smashing. Took a breath.
Yeah.
And you just felt it, you know, because to be in that mindset, like, I can't even imagine. Like, I feel like I've got OCD tendencies, but not like that.
No, like, it doesn't, like, rule my life where I can't leave the house unless I've knocked three times or just something, you know, to that effect. Like, no, I've never had anything really hold me that hard, I guess, to that point, you know. Just very good overall, well-rounded actor who thought, you know, and it, like, I don't remember hearing him say anything about any training, which is another thing, you know, like, I don't, just any, like, I mean, I would imagine there were still like classes and things people were taking in the 70s and the 80s for that kind of stuff, but to just fall, and if he did, they just didn't mention it. Yeah. Like, I don't recall them ever saying he, you know, tried any classes to do connections or anything like that. But yeah, it was just kind of fascinating to see how that overnight, you know, for that success, and then to see like the other stuff that he had kind of done along the way. And I mean, by the time we all found out, I didn't realize that he was holding that for like 7 years. Also, nothing that I would have ever thought about, you know, until now that they've drawn attention to it. But like, I remembered watching some Spin City, didn't really take into account like that he was always fumbling with something with his left hand or always made sure he had something to be able to do with that because it was already getting to the point where he couldn't get that left arm to just stop. Because they open the documentary now, mind you, with him discovering something's weird with his pinky. It was like he had some bender overnight drinking with like Woody Harrelson or something like that they were talking about. And he wakes up the next morning and he sees his pinky just doing its own thing. And he's like, this doesn't look like my finger. This doesn't even feel like my hand, but I know it is. And this thing's happening. So it seemed like it attacked that left side first.
Yeah.
Did all of these little tricks to be able to hide it, or just always made sure he had some busy work to do. But with his character, it's just like, you kind of made sense because he was always kind of like a high strung, more like, well, most of his roles were that way. Even he said, he was like, what does still mean to you? Before Parkinson's, he's like, I don't know. I wasn't still. You know, he's like, I was a little guy. And he's like, and if you look at almost all of his films, he is running or doing all the stuff, you know, like he was just on the go. So he's like, yeah, I don't know.
And he runs so I never fast.
Settled. Yeah, like I didn't settle. Like, so I mean, it was well done. Like, I would have had no clue. I was just thought it was a character trait. You know, that this guy just needs to futz with stuff. You know,
and I appreciated the hell that they showed us those moments because, like you said, I never would have thought. And it's funny because it reminds me, and I'm almost curious. I know he didn't say it, but if he almost kind of lifted the idea in some way from Gary Berghoff from MASH. I don't know if you know this, but his left hand is, I feel like it's deformed or something. And I can't remember exactly what's wrong with it, but it, you know, just doesn't look normal.
Right.
And he didn't want that to be seen in the TV show. So if you pay attention, he's always got something in that hand. always.
Oh,
so you never get to see it. There's maybe like one time that you maybe get to see it like really quick, but he's always got it hidden or holding something with it. So you never see it. And unless you're looking for it, you're not going to think about it. So same
with
that.
None of us were at the time. Yeah. He didn't say anything.
Yeah. Same with that. I never noticed, but then you see it, they point it out and you see just little things where he's squeezing something or fiddling with something and just keeping it busy. And it's like, wow.
See, I think that was what fascinated me the most about this documentary. I know we had touched on a little bit when we first started talking about it today, but like the behind the scenes stuff that were like real footage from like behind the scenes filming Family Ties or Spin City or even some Back to the Future. Like, I don't remember ever seeing those behind the scenes before. Maybe they've been out there and I've just, I can't say I've ever been like obsessed with Michael J. Fox. I had to consume everything he's ever done, but I had never seen those moments. And then to even show him kind of getting an attitude when he came back to Family Ties, because I had forgotten about this, that he had left it for a little bit, then came back to the show. And that's when it was kind of, well, the fame had hit, right?
Yeah.
By that point. And he kind of felt probably a little bit, he was too big for all of this. And so you could see him filming a scene that he was, I guess, struggling a little bit with those lines. And it was just the attitude of like, can we just, can you just start it over? Like, can we just, you know? And then when you see the earlier stuff where he's just, taking the notes and doing all this, you could see that attitude shift, you know? And he's like, yeah, I was getting to be kind of a dick. And what kind of brought him back down to it now was his wife was cast. Well, you know, she was cast first and then they got married, what, a few years after that or whatever. His girlfriend that was cast in Family Ties, he said, I was just going to make some joke about her breath smelling like garlic and this is going to be funny or whatever. And so he says it to her and she just looks him dead in the eyes after they're done. She's like, that was mean. You're an effing asshole. And he said he just remembered being taken aback. It's like, people don't talk to me that way. And she didn't care. And so that was enough, like, oh, the love of my life. She's willing to just be like, F you. I don't care who you are. You don't get to, you know. And he's like, it was just funny for him to be like, that people don't talk to me that way. Like, I didn't know what to say about it, you know, like, and apparently she was joking, but she held her face and everything so well that he, you know, so it was just, it was kind of a fun little story to hear. They were like, I'm going to be funny, but kind of a dick. She's going to give it right back. And I'll be like, what? And it just feels like a rude but wholesome moment, you know, like, it's like in this weird way that this is how they came together. And then what the hell, right? 3 years later, they're married. They're still together. Hey, I love that.
And like, she went through some of his worst times. I mean, where talking about just turning, being an alcoholic. I mean, he admitted that. That's something I did not know about him.
I did not know either.
And
yeah.
He was like, yeah, no, I was an alcoholic. I just, what was the story? He just woke up on the floor. It was like had a bender the night before and she just walked in. It's like, is this what you want to do with your life? Is this, is this it? And I don't know. It's just little moments like that. It's like she could have easily just said, fuck it. I don't want to deal with this, but she stood by him. And that's, it says a lot,
you know, and you don't hear that a lot with like Hollywood couples. Now I know, unfortunately, like her career kind of had to take a, it's just the unfortunate thing that happens when you decide to have a family, you know, like, she's obviously the one growing the baby. So things kind of slow down a little bit for her. And I liked that he at least mentioned that. Now, in the moment, if he was thinking about it, who knows? But upon reflection, when he was thinking about it, like, I was still able to work. So I was still going and filming stuff. I'm not pregnant. And she just stayed home. You know, like, I couldn't imagine what that felt like trying to become an actor, getting married. Then now my career has to stop. But he can keep going. And I mean, it's just the nature of the beast, right? Like, obviously, he's going to be fine physically, right? In that moment. Anyway. So at least he acknowledged that. And I hope they had that discussion. And I hope that that is, that they had that discussion and that that is what she wanted with her life. You know, like, you always just kind of hope that she's content with the fact that she did a family and still got to act a little bit here or there. But who knows? Maybe her goal wasn't to be all rich and famous. She just wanted to be a steady actor, which is what I wanted to be. I'm like, I don't think I'd be good at fame. I would be that person getting pissed at you for following me around and taking pictures of me when I'm just trying to go to the grocery store. Like, I just wanted to make a 5-minute run and you're making this take forever. You know, like, I would be that person. I just wanted to get enough to pay bills and I'd be doing something I love. That's it. You know, maybe that's what she wanted.
Maybe. Yeah.
And if so, good job. Cool. Your kids seem fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It does seem unfair. I've never understood that. Like, why? But I go down that rabbit hole and it comes down to people are just got to look a certain way. You got to have a certain age. I mean, the fact that you have, what, 60-year-old Tom Cruise making out with 30, 40-year-old women.
No, that's probably too old.
Think so?
I don't know. I always seem especially with like James Bond and shit, you know, like they're casting 50, 60-year-old men and it's like a 25-year-old love mistress. Whatever. But it is frustrating to see like that men just have such a more longevity in it than most women do to that. You know, like Tommy Lee Jones, for the love of God, like that's not a head turner. You know what I mean?
He's
great actor. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be cast because he's not good looking, but like, I just don't see women get a lot of those same opportunities.
They don't.
You know, Meryl Streep's a good example of pushing past that. Lovely actress. Wonderful. You know, so you'll see a few Jamie Lee Curtis, people like that. But like the roles they get are very pigeonholed into. Now you're the grandma. Now you're the old mom. Or, you know, you don't get to still be cool mobster guy running around shooting people, you know. It's sad, and it is what it is, I guess. I mean, I would love for us to think we're getting a little bit better. Maybe this body positivity thing helps a little. I don't know, because I am at least seeing more what I would call just regular-looking people on the TVs and stuff now. And I like that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'd rather see someone who looks like me running around there, because I don't know a bunch of hot model friends who just sit around hanging out with each other, getting into antics. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
those groups of people exist, sure, but like it's not very common. I wouldn't think. That's my experience anyway.
No.
Somebody else could be like, no, there's hot people around me all the time. You know, well, I don't live where you live, I guess. I
don't. No, I get what you mean.
It was nice for him to acknowledge.
Sure.
So it makes me believe that they had that conversation at least. And if she's still around, that they made it work for whatever reason, you know.
I didn't realize that he had 4 children and that was another thing that kind of just stuck with me. I was like, so, trying to do the math on it, and he never really acknowledged it either. But if you knew you had this disability when you were having children, wouldn't that kind of, like, for me, I feel like that would dissuade me from having any more.
I would be scared that, I'd be passing that along as well, because it is very genetic, the way it was making it sound like it's definitely not course all the time, but for the most part you could probably find it in your family somewhere that it came down the pike, you know. When was his first kid born, though? That's what I was trying to think, because I feel like he might have had I guess 3, because I forgot that the middle are twins. Might have had those 3 before, because they met in what, late 80s, right?
Yeah.
And he said they got married 3 years after they met, so he was 25 when he filmed Back to the Future. So it might have been about the same time,
because
they said she got pregnant a few months after they got married.
Okay.
So it would have been fairly close together, I feel.
That's true. Because I mean, even when you look at them in the documentary, they don't seem like any of them are beyond 30. You know?
No. Well, that's... one was 2001 was the last one was born.
So they're at least in their 20s.
Yeah. I feel like that last one he already knew, you know, and was going through it probably.
Possibly.
Because that's what, 2001? And he knew. He said 29. So I'm putting that math at like 89, 90 when he got the news.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know, we didn't
know until almost 2000 because he held it under his hat for like 7 or 8 years. Yeah.
I just feel like that's applause to him for being a good dad and just continuing on with it. But I can't imagine. Like, for me personally, I knew I could deteriorate to where he's at now. Mm-hmm. And you're married and maybe you don't have kids, but you do know that this is coming.
Mm-hmm.
I would be terrified to have a kid and then have to take care of that kid, not knowing what my condition is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even if you're married and you got someone to back you up, what...
That's a lot to put on her, though, too.
Exactly. So there's just... Yeah. I'm not trying to judge his decisions. Those sure. are his decisions.
No, I get what you're saying.
Everybody seems happy about it. But for me, I would be terrified mm-hmm. to have kids with that thought of the diagnosis. If I didn't know beforehand, that's different. But
yeah,
knowing
what can you do?
And still having
Well, most
kids,
people don't know until they're probably like 60 or 70, right? Yeah. So like, yeah, it would make sense that you would have already had kids and moved on by the time that diagnosis came along. And a part of me, too, as a kid, I don't know. You know, I'd be like, damn, I would be a little bit worried when, if, you know, especially since he was so young.
Yeah.
That's just the piece that I still can't wrap my brain around. Like, how so young, you know? I'd have to look up who was the youngest ever, because I feel like that's got to be close, right?
You think so. And that's honestly why I theorized the whole working himself to death for 3 months. And that's just a theory on my part. I have no proof, but
I feel like a lot of actors have probably ran themselves like that for a very long time,
sure.
too.
Like, I keep waiting to hear that Christian Bale is going to have some... serious disorder with his body, because he'd starve himself.
Sure, he doesn't?
And then he'd bulk back up and starve himself again, go back
very
to...
Very character actor, that guy. Yeah.
I applaud him for it, but...
No, that's a lot of trauma on a body. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine his metabolism is worth a damn anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either.
The last time I've seen him, he might not be doing those superhero stuff anymore, you know, but like he got sickly... underweight.
Oh god, yeah, the
machinist. Like, even like, yeah, people were like Jesus. On set even going
I mean, that was,
we could have CGI'd in some stuff, like we're not that bad yet, you know, like
that was anymore. Commitment by god. I mean, from what I hear, it was like he was drinking coffee and a can of tuna fish every day, and that's it.
Yeah, about it. Yeah.
And it's like, Jesus Christ, man,
I don't know that I could do that. Like, I don't eat a lot. I'm pretty much like a once a day, maybe twice a day eater. I just eat whenever I feel hungry, whatever, you know, so it's not that often. But like, it's more than tuna and coffee when I eat.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting down, I'm having a protein and some veggies and maybe a starch, you know, so like I'm having my meal, but that's probably all I'll have. But I can't imagine going that long, working that hard. Like, you had to just be tired all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine you'd have any energy.
Yeah. Wouldn't think so. I don't know. No. I mean, it's just... shit people do, but
yeah, but I mean, that could be, I mean, I don't know enough about it, you've even said like just a theory, but who knows, like maybe being overly tired does deplete that dopamine, and if he just bad genes, maybe, I don't know, like some people just unfortunately get the short straw, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like I don't want to say that event specifically is the thing, it just could have been a factor that made it happen faster,
so,
or
quick,
something like that. Yeah. So again, it's just a theory. I don't know.
Seemed like he was doing a lot at that same time.
Yeah.
You know, because if you were saying he was filming Family Ties and Teen Wolf at the same time, also may not have been as rigorous of a schedule. But then that had to have wrapped before he started the other one, which Back to the Future, what they said, 3 or 4 months it took.
Because even the way they talked about it, and I don't remember this, but he made it sound like he was doing Teen Wolf. They were already filming Back to the Future with Eric Stoltz, and he was noticing. He's like, that's the movie I want to be in. Like, that. Mm-hmm. Those were his words. So I'm assuming he kind of caught wind of it. He's like, they're doing this movie over here. That's what I want to do, but I'm over here doing this, you know, werewolf.
Yeah,
because
they had to make some deal to, like, get him.
Yeah.
Like, I do remember him talking about how, like, Back to the Future people were coming to, like, Family Ties, and I'm like, all right. How can we both have him here? You know, and it's like, I don't know. I would be kind of nervous about that schedule, though, too.
Yeah.
Like, you get 2 hours of sleep one evening, your next day is rough. And then you do that for months and have to have energy and memorize things and run. And
oh, that's where I'll give him credit all day, because if you take a look at his performance in Back to the Future.
Oh, God.
And and Family Ties at the same time. Man never looks tired.
No.
There's
That's
never
what
a
I
moment,
was saying. You like, know? To be so talented, you're basically doing this in your sleep. Because I remember him saying in the documentary, like, none of this can be good, was his exact words. He's like, I was so tired and running from one thing to the next. He's like, I don't know how either thing is good, Back to the Future or Family Ties. And then F you, it's number one.
Mm.
You know? I know I shouldn't say that, but, you know, the entertainer in me who failed looks at that and gets jealous and goes, you know what? Screw you, man.
Now, I'll be honest with you. I think I've come to terms with that. You know, you keep every story I hear about someone's big break, their moment.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's all going to come down to luck. I don't give a shit how talented you are. It's going to come down to luck. Someone is going to choose you or see you, and then that's your lucky break, as they say. It's luck, hands down. Because I guarantee you there are so many talented actors, artists.
Oh, there's a ton.
Musicians out there in the world who no one knows about. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there with their little pianos and sketchbooks and typewriters and what have you. And they're doing their thing. But they'll never be seen because they don't have the luxury to be noticed.
Right. Or know the right people, or because it is a lot about like who you know too. I mean, look at all the freaking Nepo actors we've got these days. Yeah. Like, they're all gorgeous, of course, because look at their parents, but like, would they have become actors? Well, not all of them are really that good, but we accept them because they're Will Smith's kid. And I'm not trying to knock Jaden. No, he might be great. I haven't seen him in a lot of stuff. But you know what I mean? Like, just because you're so-and-so's kid, we're going to cast you. Johnny Depp's daughter gets to be in a pretty awful TV show on HBO, but still gets the starring role. What the hell else has she done? I don't know. I could be talking out my ass. I haven't followed her a lot. But yeah.
Great example.
Who do you know? Who birthed you?
Great example. Something I actually learned here recently is Wyatt Russell, Kurt Russell's son. Him and Goldie Hawn's son. He was doing the rounds when Godzilla, or the Monarch show, I guess, was on Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about it. He's like, I was never planning on being an actor. I wanted to be a hockey player. And he got injured. And that kind of put him out of commission. He was like, well, I guess I'll try this acting thing. And he got into it.
Mom, dad, I think I'd like to try acting now. Go on my first audition, maybe. And again, get a role, you know.
He's a great actor. I like him. But like you said, he had the opportunity. That's not what he wanted.
Yeah.
But when.
Yeah. Doesn't that make you even more pissed?
Yeah.
It's like, you didn't even want it, man.
And life just said, well, what other options do you have? Hockey player.
Yeah. You know, what other options could you possibly do with your life? Yeah, even I didn't know this. It was like off tangent. Did you know that was Arnold Schwarzenegger's kid in Gen V?
When I looked it up and saw it, I was like, holy shit. And then I tried seeing his face, you know, like hardly.
Yeah, it would have never clicked had I not read it that was him, or saw his name finally and went, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What? I don't even know that it clicked with me. Like, I know he had kids, but like, I don't know. Yeah, so it was another where I'm like, man, look at you, you know, and he's fine. I mean, maybe he'll do other stuff and I'll be like, oh, there it is, you know, because this show, it's good, but I don't know how good you have to be. I say that because superhero stuff, like, you can cheese a lot of it and it'll still be amazing. Yeah, I don't know. I just found it kind of a fascinating peek into his life. I got really happy getting to see all those behind the scenes stuff of just him filming and being candid. I mean, you just see Christopher Lloyd just kind of like hanging out doing a thing too, you know.
Yeah.
Like, my god, like I kind of wish we could have like a little get together with them all, because Michael does still, well, I guess he hasn't really in a while. I know he had been doing like some appearances and stuff afterwards, and usually for comedic sake, of course, and his Parkinson's would be the butt of the joke.
Right.
Like, they even showed the scene from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Where he's like talking to him, you know, and he hands him a Diet Coke and he opens the Diet Coke and it just spares everywhere. And he's like, were you shaking that up on purpose? And he's like, Parkinson's, man, you know, and it was just like the fact that he's willing for that to just be the butt of the joke should tell you a lot about how he's trying to take it in stride, you know.
And I give him a lot of credit for that, too, because there are just some people in this world who would turn it into, woe is me, woe is me.
Yeah. Easy to do.
He's just like, fuck it. I'm not going to let it tear me down or ruin my life. And I'm going to keep moving. And the irony, keep moving.
Right.
In a documentary called Still.
Well, I think that was probably the, little entendre there for that. It's like, still? I've never been still. Good on him. I'm really happy about it. And then of course to get to see like just how much effort they do put in to keep him fit and everything, you know. And it's good to see that he's still working out. Yeah, he's got the means to have a trainer and stuff, it looks like, with him all the time to help with, like, walking and getting all that again. But, I mean, shoot, even that sense of humor when he was going outside.
Yeah.
And, of course, he started to go a little too fast, you know, and fell. And it was as, like, this woman was passing on the sidewalk and she came over. She's like, are you okay? And he goes, no, I'm fine. You just swept me off my feet, you know? And it's just like, he's trying to, like, don't get mad. This is going to happen. I'm just going to fall and I'm going to break stuff and we're going to get through it, you know? Part of you kept wanting to be like, stop going so fast. But I don't know. But it seemed like when he was reminded,
yeah,
he would straighten himself back up and get it. So it probably is one of those things where you're kind of stubborn and you know you can do it. And so you're like, I could just push through this thing anyway, knowing you probably can't. But there's still that part in your brain that's like, no, I look how good I'm doing right now. And then you just get too fast.
Yeah.
Seemed like a lot of his would be like, you just got to stop to recenter. But instead, he's like, F you, I'm going to keep going. You know, I'll figure it out on the way. It's like, don't break your face again, man. Like, you know.
There was one other thing I really wanted to talk about. And I know they didn't address it here, but it's just something I want to address in general that always pissed me off. And I still don't think that this documentary would change certain people's minds. Mm-hmm. And it were the assholes who would get on the internet and say that he was putting on a show or that he was,
oh, Jesus Christ, yeah,
just exaggerating his movements and everything. And mm-hmm. How dare you? Like, you don't know a goddamn thing about this disease.
That's exactly it.
So you don't know what it's doing to him. Therefore, you don't know what he can and can't control. So to even suggest that he is putting on a front, that he's just moving uncontrollably just to be like, look, I've got Parkinson's. Fuck you.
Right?
What?
Yeah. Some people just always have to be looking for that negative thing. It is kind of fascinating to me how you have that group of people, like, no matter how good a thing could be, they're still going to find that one thing to try to tear it apart. Well, they didn't do da-da-da-da, or it should have been like this. You know, like, they can never just let somebody enjoy a thing or do the thing. Yeah, fuck you. Like,
yeah, I've never tell understood he's, that.
I don't know, at least, look, I don't know people with it, or at least that advanced. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see him trying to act this thing out. I don't know. And especially when you see all the people around him and stuff, why would you fake all that? I guess, I don't know. Like, you'd be spending all that money on a physical trainer, what, just for a documentary? Like, I don't see it. But
I mean, even the way his body movements were, like, when I was watching the documentary and anytime they would cut to him and you just see him struggling through it. Like, when he took the pill, mm-hmm. you know, he said, waiting for the bus, and it was trying mm-hmm. to describe it. And then you just saw how it kind of mellowed down a little bit. There was just something about how it all kind of came about, you know, watching the movement slow, watching it just kind of bring him down a little bit. There's nothing acting about that, or at least not to my eyes. I've seen people with those, you know, jerky reactions, been around enough elderly people in those situations that you know those movements, that they can't help because their body's just not functioning.
It's properly. Just betraying them in some way. Yeah.
So they can't help it. And nothing about what I saw was fake.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No.
I really don't.
It's absurd to even say something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, these people are just being assholes for no reason. What are you mad about? Why does this upset you?
And how does it change your life at all? You know, like, I'll never understand why some people, like, feel like they've just got to constantly be, I don't know, the police of all of us. Like, what we're supposed to think, what we're supposed to say, what we're supposed to see, how we're supposed to feel. You know, it's like, man, you'd be happier if you just, like, did your own thing and ignored that the rest of us even exist, really. You know, like, but yeah. And I did find that part of it kind of interesting, though, too, that they would hold that uncomfortable length of time on him.
Yeah.
To see how that would change or affect. And then to find out at the end, he's just been, like, in horrible pain the entire time. Yeah. And the director's like, why didn't you say anything? And Michael's like, never came up.
Yeah, that was actually the scene I was trying to remember, because I remember they had that little back and forth. It's like, why didn't you? Mm-hmm. Never came up.
Yeah, we could have taken a break or anything. Mm-hmm. Never came up. It's like,
It's like, damn, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're just like raw dogging this thing, aren't you? I'm going through it. But yeah, no, you're right. Watching like that medication, he's like, just give me a minute. You know, it's going to hit, you know. And then to see, I mean, as still as he could be, but you could see how, much more control he could have. Mm. Yeah. And you could tell a lot of it has to be frustrating too, because like when you want to just say something or emote.
Yeah.
And that's the things you kind of have to fight through, because I didn't realize how hard it was for like your facial movements and things like that. Also, like you think of it like in a movement, their arms and maybe their head and stuff, but being able to actually emote. He said what for the longest time he thought maybe it was just me getting older that I didn't feel the need to ham it up all the time.
Sure, it's
just the reason why I was getting more, you know, subdued in my movements, and then come to find out, no, this is what was actually starting to take on you. So, yeah. And I don't know that I've ever seen anyone with it this advanced.
Not in person. I haven't, no.
No. I mean, I'm sure there's got to be more if they have levels that go past what he has already. Yeah, it's tough stuff, man. It was tough to see. And I'm glad I did, because he is an icon. I mean, at least in American history anyway. I don't know how far reaching or how global he is. I'm pretty sure he is. Those movies tend to still make it overseas and become like classics in that way. But I don't know. I found the whole thing just very interesting. I thought it a very fascinating look into his life. Happy he got to be the one to tell it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, in the way he wanted to tell it. Yeah, I don't know. I recommend it. I mean, even if you've liked him a little bit and was curious, I feel like it was told really well. And I feel like they were respectful around the whole topic, and then took it a step further by showing us all that extra stuff behind the scenes, even filming some like reenactments with Michael's blessing, like to make it a little bit more fleshed out of a movie, kind of. Yeah. And I mean, it's not easy to watch it sometimes, depending on like how much you really liked the guy, especially too. It probably like hurt a little bit more, like you really looked up to him. I say that as a joke, but
I think he would approve.
Of the joke, yeah. Like, look up to you. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's one of those actors that I feel like was one of the first that, in my memory, I knew as a child. Like, he was that guy. Oh, he's that guy in Teen Wolf. Oh, he's that guy in Back to the Future. Oh, he's that guy in Family Ties. Because at five, you know, that's really when a lot of my memories are really starting to form, probably as far back as I can remember at best. Mm-hmm. And that's even being generous.
I honestly, that far. Yeah.
Seriously, when I look back at my past, I honestly feel like my years blend, because I'll think, like, what year did I get my first Nintendo? And I feel like it's earlier than it was.
Yeah.
But then when I contextualize, I'm like, well, it can't be, because, and Zelda's the one I think that threw me off, because I know that was a game we got from day one.
Okay.
And I think that game came out later than I expected. So then when I contextualize when we got it, I'm like, well, it has to be here, because it can't be earlier than that, because the game wasn't out yet. And then I go into this cycle of like,
what do I know? Yeah. Who am I? Yeah.
So with this, I feel like he was that one actor, without a doubt, 100%. I knew by name, by face, and I kind of looked up to the guy. I thought he was cool, you know, because he's this cool guy, you know, and he's doing,
I can remember
cool
thinking
stuff.
He was kind of cute as a kid too, because he was in all the teen magazines for a very long time. Like, if there was a magazine his face could be on, he was on it. Like, all in that same time, you know?
Yeah.
I never had like a crush or anything on him, but I could see like, he's kind of cute. Yeah. I mean, no offense, he was small for me. I would have never. I know. Everybody can hate on me, whatever you want. These small kings are still lovely, and there's lots of people out there. But, you know, like, it's to me, if I feel like I'm babysitting, I can't do it. That's me. I'm sorry.
I get it. I have, like, I guess I feel like I've leaned toward shorter women in my lifetime. But I won't say that a taller woman wouldn't fascinate me. You know? Like, I hate to use her as an example, but it's the only tall woman I can think of right off the top of my head. Rebecca from Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Oh, oh boy.
Yeah. Climbing her would be all right, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
She's definitely a good looking woman, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah. And holds the height well.
And I would be like, you can be taller than me all day long. I don't care.
Is that where we're supposed to say you could step on me? Is that what it is?
If you're into that kink.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm not sure I totally understand. I could be saying something that I have no idea, honestly. And they're like, she has no idea. She's talking about blah, blah, blah. You're right. I'm legitimately thinking y'all are just getting stepped on by these big ass women. All right. And that could be all it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just remember it from Resident Evil.
Yeah. Whatever that is.
That's what I heard it a lot.
Kink is. I don't get it. But again, I don't know.
Everybody do your own thing. If everybody's consenting and you're having fun, go for it. I don't give a shit.
It could be something we're missing out on and just not know it, but we're just not understanding it well enough to try.
Well, I remember enjoying my back getting stepped on a little bit to pop it. Like, that's the best I can relate to. And then now I'm like, that was a really bad idea. Don't do it again. We could have been hurting ourselves super bad. We didn't know what we're doing, stepping on each other's spine, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Could have broken something. Maybe that's how my back got broke. Who knows? I lost that little bone off the back. But yeah.
Yeah. The documentary did mean a lot, seeing him. It did break my heart a little for him because, again, he's been there all of my life.
My whole life he's been around. Yeah.
And I wish that one day we hear that his foundation has found a cure or an advancement to either slow it down, improve it. Doesn't have to be a fix right now, but just something, you know, because he has dedicated at least, two decades with this foundation.
Raised billions of dollars from what I can tell. So,
and just to not have, I'm sure there have been strides. I'm sure that there have been advancements, but I feel like we don't get to hear the little advancements that are probably making some people, like, he is probably in a good position now because of the advancements.
Sure.
You know, so he might not be as bad off as he could be because of the work that they put in, but still it's not there yet. And I just don't understand. I wish we could get there, you know, with a lot of these diseases. I wish we could get there, and the science is there, damn it. I know it's there.
And they're definitely getting there with a lot of things. Like, it's kind of a really cool time to be alive, getting to watch all of these things come about. And especially just imagining, like, 100 years ago, diarrhea was a death sentence, or a little bit longer, you know. And then now, you know, we're 3D printing hearts. Like, it's kind of... science is really cool. Like, I know we're in a weird time with science or whatever, but, like, it's pretty awesome to think about, like, that we can just make an organ. Like, I know we're not totally to the point where we're just, like, swapping people's hearts out all willy-nilly and it's fine, but, like, we're testing that stuff and it's, like, a real thing, you know, that we're able to do with just this tissue and these cells. And it's just crazy to me. Like, we're being God right now.
Yeah.
We're probably growing humans in dishes. Like, it's just, I don't know if that's probably a line for people to decide whether that's ethical or not. But, like, the fact we can, I don't trust humans with that much power. I know somebody is going to take it for nefarious reasons. And then our Congress is going to be 2000. So they're not going to understand how to regulate anything. But, like, I think it's cool to watch, though. And I would hope he gets to benefit from it. I mean, I don't. You know, he's still young, but the disease may not allow that long. I don't know if we've watched it from this early on, you know, so I don't know.
And they did make it sound like, especially when they showed that clip from Barbara Walters, like it almost made it sound like he was going to be dead in like a few years because it's like life threatening disease. And I understand it can be, but the way you say that, and you contextualize it at his age, you're just like, so how long does he have? And then it's still been, 20 plus years?
Well, if my math is right, and he found out around 89, 90, because he said he was 29. And I'm just going off the fact that I knew he was 25 when he was filming Back to the Future.
So, okay. So
and
I guess,
released in 85.
Yeah. So I guess I was contextualizing it from the interview, because that happened around Spin City, and I feel like that was a 90s show, like kind of.
Yeah, it was.
Early 90s?
When did it first come out?
Late 90s?
Because I know it was during the run of that show where it got to the point where he couldn't hide it anymore, and I think finally 96 to 2002.
Okay, so
yeah,
somewhere in there, that's when he let... So again, 20 years from the time he outed himself, she says that, but he's already been living with it for 10 years at least.
Right, but we probably knew for three, you know, like, yeah.
So it was weird how she laid it out like that, because again, I understand it can be, but to use that in context and he looks fine.
Right,
you
yeah.
know, just like, I don't know. It feels like it fear-mongers the idea that we're going to lose him very soon. And we've been lucky and fortunate to have him around still for 20 plus years.
Right.
And again, as much as I'm glad that they stayed focused on him, there is a part of me that would kind of want to hear from like the cast.
People around him.
Yeah.
Especially like from Family Ties days. Cause I mean, I don't want to hear people talking shit about him, but I feel like that would have been the era to. Because you got to probably, well, you did. You saw him go into fame. Like you were working with him as a no-name actor who was getting some work, but, you know, he wasn't this phenomenon yet or anything, from what should have been like humble beginnings into, you know, super, like just to watch that from the outside had to be kind of fascinating to see also. And then the director probably taking all sorts of credit because he's like, I didn't even want to cast you.
Yeah, but
look like what I did. You know?
Yeah. And I guess they would probably be the ones I would want to hear from the most, because we see, like, I've seen tons of pictures from cons, appearances, whatever, where you see the Back to the Future cast together. So you see him and Christopher Lloyd and then Leah Thompson. And so you know that they're getting along. You know that they all seem great. But yeah, I'm kind of curious about his Family Ties actors, because I never hear them talk about him.
And they might have been the ones that got the brunt of his dickheadedness, too, honestly.
At the same time, do you think that they would still be holding a grudge after all this time? And maybe...
Now that, I don't know. People grow and change, and they could have, you know, had many of lunches since then and hashed things out. Who knows?
He may not
have been rude to them. He might have just been difficult enough on set that the rest of them were like, Jesus Christ, can we just get through this scene right now? You know, like, it wasn't directed at anyone, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I would really hate to think that they, because the fact that he admitted to his behavior, sure enough, he had to have apologized if he was rude to them. You know what I mean?
I would hope so.
You acknowledge it, you're going to be like, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, you know, fame got the better of me, whatever. I don't know. I feel like that's a part of his career that we don't hear about very often, but you hear about Back to the Future. You hear about all these other
and
shows.
And I mean, Justine Bateman's still around, you know.
Fighting the SAG after fight.
Some of the other ones.
Michael Gross. I mean, hell, he did like that whole run of Tremors movies and shit like that.
Yeah.
So that's where he's been making his bread and butter. And then Meredith Baxter.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like all she did was Lifetime movies and stuff like that. Could be wrong. Yeah. She may have moved on.
But one thing I did, and I think would have like slipped by me 100% because like who knew her? Courtney Cox on 19 episodes.
That's right.
I was like, I had to go back and look. And then when I saw the scenes, I'm like, oh my God. Because it's like one of those things where you're seeing the people before they're famous.
That's right.
And then when you're going back and watching some of the stuff, you're like, huh. Because you forget how old Courtney Cox is really too. Because she was like the oldest of all of them and Friends even, you know. So
I think I had seen her on that show.
I'm sure.
Before... Because she was in the Masters of the Universe movie. And then when I saw her there, I was like, oh, that's the girl from Family Ties. She's, So it was interesting that I knew her from that show before that movie.
And not the Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, no. Because I didn't have the music videos. We had Friday night videos, remember? So you had to stay up late night on Fridays. You had to record that shit. If you wanted to see any videos. And that's there's a deep dive show right there. God, I haven't thought about that show in ages.
My gosh. I don't know. Like even, that might be fun.
Yeah.
I have to see how much of those kinds of things we can still find. in whole pieces, mm-hmm. you know, not just like parsed out. But yeah, I'm like looking at these actors, like they should be around, still doing lots of stuff.
Should be. Like I said, I feel like Justine Bateman, I don't know if she works in front of the camera as much anymore. I know she gets a lot of hate on Twitter because she is aging gracefully. You know, she isn't doing the...
And she's speaking out about how she's not wanting to do it, which I think is where people are like, are you judging those who do? And she's like, I mean, I kind of feel like it's an epidemic.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to look human.
Yeah. And you know what? I give her so much in props for that, because mm-hmm. how many women are just like, well, I have to go get Botox, or I have to go do this.
Well, or the fact that they feel so pressured by the industry to keep your job, to like feel like you have to mutilate yourself to make it happen. If you're doing it because you want to, that's one thing.
If you have to do it for work.
Yeah. If you're like, you're feeling like you have to, then, you know, we should probably revisit how we're treating these people in the first place to make things, you know, feel that way. Cause I mean, men are doing it just as much now too. You know,
have to be.
People just aren't looking older anymore.
No.
And I'm like, it just doesn't look natural. But I don't know. I find her beautiful. I don't know. I guess I don't see what people are seeing when they think we're just getting uglier with age. Maybe because I'm closer to those ages, I see it, and I see it as beautiful. You know, like now I can't find 20-year-olds hot anymore because they just look so young to me. I can appreciate good looking ones or whatever, and I can understand why kids are like all about it. But I'm like, he looks like a kid to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Now you give me someone in their 40s and 50s. I'm like, now there's a man, you know, or 60s, you know.
I'm so glad you said that because I've noticed that, too. I feel like I find people attractive who are around my age. Those are the people I find most attractive. And then, the younger, despite it being creepy, you know, it can be creepy.
To a degree, yeah.
But
yeah, Leo, we love you, baby. But maybe it's time to go 26.
Like, I can say like this. If I know that there's an actress out there who is younger, who could be my kid, I can acknowledge she is beautiful.
Attractive. Sure. Yeah.
But that's where the line is with me. I just say like, she's a good looking woman. I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I beyond that, I can't do it. But an older, like I said, Hannah Waddingham from Ted Lasso.
Bam.
Jesus.
I don't blame you at all. Well, I mean, look at me for crying out loud. Bruce Campbell in a heartbeat. Give me a second. You know, my silver Bruce. Give him over. You know, and I know he's in his 60s. I don't care. You know? Still very handsome, and personality goes a long way too. Like, it just makes you look like a better person. You could have a really ugly personality being super hot. And how much could I push through? Are you going to shut up the whole time? Because if you shut up the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to me. But
so many women that I have found gorgeous, and then their personalities are just garbage.
Mm-hmm.
It's off. Like,
you still have to deal with them.
Yeah, I'm just like, no, I'm not tolerating this personality with that face.
Right.
That face is now not as attractive as I once thought it was.
Because, I'll just take a picture. Yeah. Have a good life.
See you later.
I don't want to talk to you anymore. I agree, though. I like them more my age. I don't know. And I feel like that's probably supposed to be normal.
I would hope so.
I'm not knocking people if you're still going after people who are legal. But, you know, I kind of agree where it's just like.
There's just something about it in my view that there's something beautiful about the age. There's something beautiful about.
And then discarding us older women again. Just because we're not young and taut and whatever, you know, it's like.
But you know what?
Neither are you, buddy. You know, like.
I find that there's something very attractive in a body that is not perfect, or what is perceived as perfect.
Right. What is perceived as perfect. Yeah.
Okay. So you've got a stretch mark. You got a bruise. You got a scar. So.
You're alive.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I mean, Christ. Yeah. I wish I could put that mindset for my own self, for how I look at other women.
That acceptance of your own body.
I look at a woman who doesn't have all the right curves or whatever, and it's just like, that is super attractive, despite probably what so many other people would say. How many times I've heard that?
I think if you talk to enough straight men, though, that they're a little bit more attracted to a little bit more cushion in there, you know? Or at least the ones that I've met, I feel like they like the curves. They want to see...
I do.
Lady body, you know, they don't want to just see a stick. Now, there's those who do like that. You know, they're like, I like them real thin, or I like them real fit, or, you know. But I feel like for the most part, they're like, yeah, a little extra around the tummy. I don't care if you got, but those curves, you know. Like
I think that there are so many body types. You can have all the varieties and still think every one of them are attractive. I think that's the beauty of that, too. You don't have to just look at one and be like, ew. I mean, sure, there are some that are just not going to look that appealing. But if you can look at all those body sizes and types that you mentioned and find them all equally attractive, then your options are endless.
Right? Because there's probably just a little bit of something about each one that you're like, I can do that. Mm-hmm. I can deal with that. Yeah, I can deal with that. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And you know what? If you gave it a shot.
You might like it.
You might find something else you like, you know? We've strayed.
We did.
Like we always do. Very much so. Hey, Michael.
We did go down it naturally.
That's true.
We're talking about the beauty of Justine Bateman, who I had a big crush on.
And was on Family Ties.
That's right.
Yeah.
She's still rocking her look. So
yeah, she is. No, and I'm happy for her, and I hope you keep doing it. And I feel like we're finally getting to a place where we might start seeing where it doesn't have to be this like 100% perfect, whatever they decide Hollywood perfect is on these shows and stuff. And I can get more into it. It just feels more natural.
Yeah,
like, these are what regular humans are doing out in the world, having this. We're not all just going to the gym and doing our yoga and eating avocados or whatever. It's like, and I'm enjoying that we're doing that more.
If you normalize it, then maybe people won't watch movies and TV shows and feel like that they have to meet some sort of beauty standard that they can't naturally achieve, you know, without a trainer and all the hard work and, you know, a life that can accommodate all that.
Yeah, like what you don't see is that's like all consuming.
Yeah.
Like if you listen to like some of these men in the superhero movies and stuff like that, like they're not doing that all year long. They are cutting all that during filming and all this kind of stuff and dehydrating themselves so the muscles pop in those things. And then they see like Jason Momoa on the beach who has like a little belly. I'm like, no, he probably just ate food that day.
Yeah.
And looks normal now.
Sorry, you got a belly. I mean, God damn.
And I am so sorry. What's wrong with it? I'd still climb the man. Let's be real, guys. Like, come on. You know, like, let's be real. Who cares? He's still very fit, you know? It's just you see the CGI'd or very well shot, very well shaded, good picture taken. What's his name? You mentioned that. That one actor, it was like the first time he did a superhero movie and got super cut.
Oh,
I can't remember.
Kumail Nanjiani?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, guys, no, this will never happen once the film is over. Like, it's your whole life. How much you're consuming and burning and doing. And it's just like, no human wants to do that all day long, all the time. Maybe some of you do. Sure. Maybe it's your job.
Yeah,
like,
sure,
if you're an Arnold. Your job was to look buff and be a bodybuilder. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you should be doing that all day long. You know, but the rest of us would like a burger once in a while. Or, you know.
Just to live, man.
Right? And they're still human. So I don't blame them. But yeah. But all of that to say, men get that same hate. Because I'm sure they see, you know, these superhero guys that are all cut and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, the straight women all swooning over them or whatever. And then it's just like, that's what we're supposed to look like. Well.
Hey, I would be just happy to look like Sean Connery as Bond. He wasn't ripped, but if I could just be that fit, I'd be perfectly fine with it.
Yeah.
Feel good taking my shirt off and everything.
Right? And who says we need to do all that? Maybe we should just normalize. Keep your freaking clothes on.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're a dude or a chick. Just stop. And then you don't have to worry about it. No one's going to see your phone. Listen to me. I've got all the answers. Just stop taking your clothes off, people, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, anyway, we've
strayed very much. So anyway, but all this to say, I still think you're right. It would be interesting to listen to some people from Family Ties talk about that. And who knows, maybe we should petition. He's still around. Like maybe they can get some little get together and then make him leave the room while they have a serious talk. I don't know.
Yeah.
I recommend it. If you like documentaries and you've ever just been a fan of Michael J. Fox, I think you would find it an interesting watch. And it's only an hour and a half, so it's not like a 3-4 night event.
And even, I would even say that even if you're not really well-versed in Michael J. Fox, maybe you're not familiar with a lot of his movies or you haven't seen a lot, if maybe you just are interested in the Parkinson's side of it.
True.
That, yeah. I mean, they do go into a lot of detail about the the condition, and I even think toward the beginning they were actually focused on several bits where they were talking about Parkinson's and showing other people with it and their conditions and how bad they got. So it doesn't just have to be like a window through entertainment about this one actor. I mean, you can, I feel like there are so many things that you can get out of this beyond just Michael J. Fox.
Sure. You know,
Or Mike Fox.
I know. Where did the J come in? I should have looked that up because I know it wasn't. And then it seemed like they just, what is the J?
I'm curious if they, because they never said it, but the Alex P. Keaton thing. Like they said,
I thought it was a joke based on that.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about because they said he's the one who added the P. Like he just ad-libbed it. So I was wondering if in his head he was just like, what's a middle initial? I'm doing Michael J. Fox, so Alex P. And then...
okay, so... See, okay. Michael J. Fox was born Michael Andrew Fox in 1961 in the capital of the Canadian province, Alberta. He later adopted the J as a homage to legendary character actor Michael J. Pollard.
Oh, I know Paul. Yeah, okay.
All right. So the J is just... Well, and I think it's because he put the period, too, where it like, makes me think that it was a name. Because doesn't Samuel L. Jackson just, it's L. There's no like period or anything. Like it's just Samuel L. So I was like, that has to be for something. But no, his name is Michael Andrew. Interesting. Okay. Well, there you go. I just learned a thing. There you go. And I'm looking up Michael Pollard now just to make sure I do remember that guy. Yes. Huh. I'm surprised that didn't come up.
Yeah, really.
And, or if it did, it totally went over my head and I missed it. But I don't remember them talking about where he got the J. No. I remember them doing the scene in the Family Ties where he answered the phone and said Alex P. Keaton. And everybody just like belly laughed at how you know. All right. There you go. Michael Andrew. Just taking the J. Michael J. Pollard. I got nothing else.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
Pretty good for me. Yeah. So
high recommendation on both our fronts here. So siblings, if you've not seen this, it's on Apple TV or Apple TV Plus.
So if you don't have Apple, then that's unfortunate. Yeah. But it's exclusive to there for now.
For now. Maybe look on sites like Vudu or something like that. See if I don't know if it is, but I know that what was that movie that came out recently? Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, yeah.
I know that was an Apple Plus or Apple TV Plus movie that they released in theaters, and then now it's on the platform. So I saw it on Vudu.
To rent.
Look around. Maybe you might find it somewhere else, and you probably get a good rental off of it. If not, if you've not done a free trial on Apple, maybe give that a shot.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. They do still do that for at least a week. Or if you have a PlayStation 5, you might still be able to get the 6 months free.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I did. And then they're programming was good and I just kept it, but 6 full months. It's a good deal,
and there's quite a bit on there that we could recommend too that I know that we'd love to talk about here on this show, because
there's a lot of Apple shows I like.
I'm surprised how much I'm watching it now, so
I'm hanging on to it until it kind of runs the well dry, because like some of the shows I'm watching might be nearing its last season, so we'll have to see, you know. But yeah, I kind of recommend Apple.
Yeah, they had to put that Godzilla show on Apple. So now I can't get rid of it.
Well, they got to keep pulling you back in somehow, you know.
But anyway, siblings, if you've seen the show, if you haven't seen the documentary or whatever,
let us know
on social media, whatever platform that you prefer to use, because we're everywhere. If you want to send us an email, if that works better for you, supermegacrash@gmail.com. Patreon, if you want to throw in a few bucks, throw our way. If you want to leave us that 5-star review, that would be nice on whatever podcaster of choice you're using. I do want to mention this because I've seen a lot of emails here lately. Your podcast app of choice is starting to be narrowed down. There are a lot that are starting to go the way of the dodo.
Yeah, Rona boom, I guess, is dying off.
Yeah, I don't know if it's... I mean, obviously, I don't think we're going to be losing any of our bigger ones like Spotify or Apple, but just be aware.
I just heard Spotify was cutting down.
Yeah.
Like, I think Rogan's their only, like, exclusive one left, and his contract might be up this year.
Yeah, I've heard that. But, you know, I think, what did I get emails about? I know Stitcher just shut down. Radio Public is going down.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's one of the smaller ones.
Good Pods?
Apple.
Is that still okay?
Well, Good Pods still seems to be going strong, which I, you know, good for them. What was the other one? I think it's Google. I know that they were doing podcasts. They've phased out. Now that's all gone to you. It's complicated. Just
well, Spotify at least still does music. So like, just I don't know. I don't know how much it costs you to house all those things.
Anyway, wherever you use it, hopefully you're using it on a bigger one, and you're still going.
I guess
find
like
it.
Apple, Google, Spotify, they got enough money to hang in there. I guess
we should be wherever you get a podcast. So. If we're not on your favorite for some reason, let us know, and I'll fix that as quick as I can. Finally, keep up with all things pencilpaperproductions.com/supermancrash. Links are in the show notes down below. Join us again next week, siblings. But until then, go beyond your limits.
This has been a Pencil and Paper Podcast Network production.